back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments and delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Hine ni, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. Now, as the body of Messiah, we are called to be a light to the world. But our light is so often dim when we make as our goal anything other than Yeshua. If we make as our goal political pursuits or social acceptance or wealth or a mere piety, mere moralism, mere religiosity. If we return to the text here, we see that there's a disparity between the inward and outward inclinations of the people's heart, of Israel's heart, that outwardly they delight to know God's ways or they seek him daily, that they fast. But inwardly, they're full of greed and self-centeredness and wickedness. They oppress their workers. They fast to quarrel and to fight. They're accusing each other. There's dissension. So why the disparity? How can it be that people seeking to be pious, seeking to be moral, can be so far from the goal? I think it's because they sought to attain righteousness before God by their works, by mere piety, by moralism, by being good enough. And righteousness, this is an interesting word. It's pretty much out of the common English vernacular. We don't really use it anymore. Usually if we're saying righteousness, we're talking about self-righteousness, and that has a negative connotation. So what does this word really mean? How can we think of it? And I think basically it means acceptance or approval. How are we accepted before God? Abraham had faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. God accepted him because of his faith, right? So these people sought to be accepted before God by their piety. And I think they were outward in people. And what I mean is that they were focused on external things, and they acted as if sin and virtue were outside, so that if you avoid sin and you do the behave in the right way, then you can be accepted before God, that you can be righteous. And that's sad. But it doesn't work. I mean, what it leads to is that you avoid things that you think are sinful. And you hope that by doing the right things and performing the right actions, you will satiate your hunger for acceptance and your hunger for approval that all humans have, and that it will make you feel good inwardly. But it won't, and it will not change your heart. And I think this is really exemplified in verse 3. When people are crying to God, they say, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no notice of it? And what is God's response? He says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and you oppress all your workers. Now, why this answer to this question? And I think it's because they were trying to take advantage of people. They were taking advantage of their workers. They were exploiting them. They were oppressing them. And they're trying to do the same thing to God. By being good, by being moral, they're trying to put God in their debt as if he owes them something. And that doesn't work. And to them, God says, fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. So there's a parable in Luke, and I know that you've studied the parables and that you've studied this exact one, of a Pharisee and a tax collector praying to God. And the Pharisee takes the outward in approach. And Yeshua, it says, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt, which if you trust in yourself, if you base your approval before God on anything other than Yeshua, you will treat others with contempt. Now, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, so he separates himself, right, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the Pharisee was an outward in person. He was focused on the externals, on the behavior, and not, I mean, you notice he doesn't say, God, thank you that I've become a more patient person. Thank you that I've had more joy in my heart. Thank you that I can love people who I couldn't love before. Whereas the tax collector says, be merciful to me. And apparently the Greek says, the sinner. He's not comparing himself to other people by merely saying a sinner, but the sinner. And the word also used for merciful to me here isn't the regular word for mercy, but it means make atonement for me. So there is another way than this outward-in approach, and we can call it an inward-out approach or inside-out approach. And it starts with God changing our heart, and it starts with the understanding the radical nature of the gospel, that Yeshua loved us so much that he made atonement for us. And you know, it's no mistake that when Boris came up here and he played Yeshua, he played a homeless man, and we're going to get back to the passage in Isaiah, but because Yeshua became poor for our sake. He was in the bosom of the Father from eternity past, clothed with majesty, and he left it all. He stepped into human history temporarily. And he became poor. He was born in a manger. When his parents offered the sacrifice for his berit milah, it was two pigeons. It's the least you could do. He said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no home of his own. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He had his last dinner in a borrowed room. He died naked, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. So he became poor for us, and he poured himself out for us, and he made atonement for us, and he rose again so that we could have life and union with him. And that we, as the body of Messiah, as the redeemed people, can be a memlechet kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and a light to the nations. So how is it that our light goes dim? What does God require? We need to let the truth of the gospel, the radical grace of Yeshua, transform our hearts. And when we do that, when we realize that we have nothing to offer God, that we are not approved by anything that we do, then we're set free. Then we don't need to hold others in contempt. That we can rejoice in union with the Lord. Now, as for being a light, the passage in Isaiah tells us how. Here's a foolproof way. He says, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, the oppression. It's a metaphor for oppression. To let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will shine forth like the dawn. Now, I could say, a lot of you have a lot more than homeless people and poor people, so you know you should give to them, and then you'll pretty much be serving the poor or the homeless out of guilt. And that won't profit anybody. It'll maybe have temporary benefit, but you could just end up back in the same string of moralism or religiosity that's not acceptable before the Lord, that's not the means by which we are saved. Or I could say, you know, we should help the poor just because the Bible says so, and maybe you cross your arms and think, well, there's a lot of reasons why I shouldn't help them, and these people are poor for a reason. Maybe they're drug addicts or alcoholics, or they'll take advantage of me or just blow the money on something else. But I think if we let the truth of the gospel as understood by Yeshua becoming poor for us, and if we're supposed to be like him and love people like he loved us, then we realize that we need to be poor in spirit and to realize that all we can do is accept God's grace and then give it out to people who have nothing that the world values, and yet they're valued by God enough that he poured himself out for them. So if we do this together as a body, then our light shall break forth like the dawn. Our healing shall spring up speedily. Our righteousness shall go out before us, and the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. We will call, the Lord will answer. We will cry, and he'll say, here I am. If we pour ourselves out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then our light shall rise in the darkness, and our gloom be as the noonday. Because Yeshua, he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. And he redeemed us. And so that we can go and be a light. So that's my word for you guys today. Shabbat shalom.